When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi everyone, it's Cammy here. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Heart and Hand. If you happen to listen to the shows on the Apple, Android or Spotify platforms, could you please give Heart and Hand a follow on there? They may also ask you to write a wee review, and if you could write us a really good one, we would massively appreciate it. Thank you so much. Hello everyone and welcome to Heart and Hand, the Rangers podcast. My name is Cameron Bell. I'm your host on Extra as always. And this week, in what might be a slightly demotivational pod, and I'll apologise for that now, but I think anyone listening to this of a red, white and blue persuasion would understand why, is joining me to be able to provide a ray of sunshine is my very good friend, Alan Bradley. Alan, thank you for coming on. It's always a tough task to do these pods after a disappointing Rangers performance, which obviously we'll get into, but thank you for joining me this week.
No, you're welcome, Calme. Again, thanks for the invite, and I always enjoy coming on. As you know, I love coming on to Extra as well. I'm not going to lie with you as well. Normally when Rangers go through this type of spell, nobody hears from me for 3 days. I don't read anything, don't listen. But I'm thinking, Cammy, see with your charming personality, I think you're going to see me through and I'm going to be really motivated at the end of this one, mate.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be a tough task within itself. I think the only people probably enjoying the misery of this pod will probably be those, let's face it, of a certain team's persuasion, so we will see what happens. But Alan, at third time of asking, Rangers were able to go to Dens Park, to the Scott Foam Insulation Stadium. God, that's a terrible name. Yeah. At third time of asking, to be able to try and play a game that should have been played, I think it was about 6 months ago. As we talk about that first, I want to kind of just mention the Dens Park last night. I was at the game. It was the surface was fine, and I'm going to use it as a preface for I'm not going to do it, Alan. I know you're not going to do it, and I don't think anyone associated with Heart and Hand is going to do it. But what I would say at the moment just now, Alan, is despite all of the absolute soap opera that preceded this game eventually being able to try and take place, there is absolutely no one who watched that game last night could even possibly, in the smallest of measurements, blame the playing surface for what we saw last night. It simply is not feasible.
No, I would agree with you 100%. I mean, even the way Dundee, to be honest with you, passed it around and so on, but there's no way anything to do with that at all. And if a Rangers team can, on that type of surface, or to be honest with you, even worse than that, wouldn't believe it, if we can actually perform better, then nah. But you're right, Cammy, absolutely no excuses whatsoever.
The only thing, Alan, that I would say from a playing conditions perspective, and I'm using that as a wide term, that could have been criticised last night was that Dundee, for some reason, as well as not paying for drainage, don't seem to have appeared to pay for a football pump. It was a hold up in the game. Again, obviously being broadcast live on Sky, so yet another great advertisement for Scottish football, where we had to constantly change the ball. So ball goes out of play, ball boy throws another ball back in. A player, and by the way, it was both Dundee and Rangers, would get the ball, do that usual, you know, the double hand press thing, find that it was too soft, give it to the referee. Referee would go, right, okay, fair enough. He'd chuck that ball back. The ball boy would get the original ball that went out, and then we would restart the game. And then later on, it actually got to the stage where no ball seemed to be able to be of suitable purpose, and the linesman then had to go and speak to some member of the Dundee staff to say, you know, get this sorted out, this is kind of ridiculous. But that comedy aside, Alan, let's get into the game, and I'm afraid that we're going to have to rip the plaster off and let's get into it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the feeling for me, and I always like to use this term, and you know this because we've done plenty of these shows together, where I don't ever like to think that fans should be self-entitled. I really don't like this idea of us being able to say you are due X, Y, and Z. Now, anyone who's listened to these shows before, who's heard me say that, may also say, but there's been other times where I have said, I think the team owe the fans something. And I mean owe the fans something. And last night's a good example because there were some of these guys. I went up to I wasn't quite in Dundee last week when the game got called off, but there were plenty of fans who went, you know, with the expectation, and it's not just the travel, it's the time off work, etc., to be able to get up to Dundee. And these are the guys. Rangers don't compensate them. Rangers don't compensate them for the time off work that they have to take. They don't compensate them for the travel time away from families and stuff. And I understand that. That's part and parcel of following your football club. But the reason as to why I mention all this is because after the poor souls who went up to Dingwall to be able to watch that abject performance, if you were at Dingwall last night and you were if you were in Dingwall at the weekend and in Dundee last night, and our very own Adam Thornton was, because I went with Adam to the game. Honestly, you've got my absolute patience, because those fans who went up to Dingwall could at least leave, and even being optimistic, could have said, right, it's on to Dundee. We need to be able to get a performance. We need to start strong. We need to do the kind of things that we've probably not really seen since the second half of the Celtic game. We need to be able to get back on the momentum. We need to be able to get back on the horse. This has been a game in hand that's been overstretched because of the conditions that we've all talked about. And my God, if Rangers could set the bar lower, I think it was epitomised for me, Alan, in the fact that Dundee should have been ahead in the first minute. Very similar to how Ross County should have been, by the way. But within the first minute, a real sight on goal, and I think we were lucky to get away with it. And for me, I'm struggling to accept, not believe and not understand, but I'm struggling to accept now why these Rangers players aren't understanding what we need from them.
Yeah, I mean, I, as you know, I mean, I'm criticised. I try to be considered as well. And, you know, I'm the one that tries to not do the knee jerk, you know, get rid of this, sack the manager, blah, blah. So, I mean, I consistently try and step back. But you're right. I mean, if you think of it as well in terms of travelling, a lot of it can be as well, I mean, from all parts of the UK and so on as well, and the Holocaust associated. But you're right. And I think you would probably been at the game shouting, I'd be shouting at TV. But I think at one point I put in the group chat as well, they just look like a side. Honestly, it looks like 11 guys or thereabouts. They didn't really, it's as if they just didn't give a hoot about Rangers. And I know that sounds stupid because obviously, you know, they want to and they're professional and so on. But really, this is a team that's going potentially to win this title, you know, and it's going out there. And what do we see? They're just kind of walking, doing the walking football thingy that they do. They're getting brushed aside by Dundee players out fought and so on, as they were with Ross County too. The application and everything, and as I say, again, it's the old me. I mean, all of the Rangers players that I saw, at the end of the day, Cammy, even if things are going bad and we're not doing it, there was fight, there was somebody going, come on, driving them. There was nothing. You looked across the whole lot of them. And again, Philip Clement always talks as well about, you know, the connection between us and the fans and that, which has been fantastic as well. But there didn't seem to be that kind of a look at all these guys. We're doing it for Rangers. We're doing it for the club. It just looked, I don't know. There's obviously loads behind it, but it just didn't come across to me as we're absolutely trying our damnedest, one for the fans, one to do the title. It was just, as I say, brushed aside. And I know people go, don't be disrespectful and all that, but there's like Dundee guys in the midfield and so on. They're fucking, you know, they're bossing it as they did before with Ross County. I just don't understand it. And as I say, you know me, I'm definitely not a get rid of this, do that, you know. But last night, Cammy, and again, whether you've had the Motherwell one, the Celtic thing, you've had the Ross County, you've got this one, the chances of the league are absolutely so remote. Again, you never know, win all the games. Celtic will maybe drop at Kilmarnock or whatever. But looking at what we've seen with that evidence, can you realistically think there's any kind of chance at all, mate? It's just...
No,
I don't know.
Listen, you're absolutely right. There's a few things there, right? So for me, what I'm primarily concerned about is a lack of urgency. Mm-hmm. And I know that, and I've spoken to people, and, you know, especially, and again, I know we're here to talk about Dundee, but ultimately there's a systemic problem, or there's some systemic problems which are seeping into pretty much most of our performances since Motherwell. I know the boys talked about it in the flagship on Monday. Obviously, feel free to go back to listen to that if, you know, you want to be further depressed. But the problem for me is this isn't fatigue or tiredness. Before we got up to the international break, I think it's fair to say we knew that the team were tired, and that is because those players were putting in the extra miles because they were having to cover for lack of resource within the squad because of injuries. I understand that, right? I accept that. And I'll be honest with you, and again, I cannot speak in behalf of the fan base, but I do like to think I've got my finger on the pulse in terms of the general sentiment in the fans. And I think that our fans appreciated the players doing that. I think they sympathised with the players, and I don't think there was any blame and there was any finger pointing. Now, you fast forward from that pre-international break period to now, and there is finger pointing, there is blame. And the reason being that I don't think anyone in our Rangers team doesn't want to win the title, right? So I'm not suggesting things like they're down in tools or what have you. But I can't blame it on tiredness, for the simple reason being that I can appreciate the fact that you might have a young guy who, you know, might strip you for pace, right? And you've got to follow him, you've got to track him, he might drag you about the place. I understand that. You might have to put in a tough shift, right? Do a good amount of running. Here's the problem. We are reverting back. I'm going to come on to why I think this is, and I'm keen to kind of get your thoughts on it, Alan. But we are reverting back to being safe. We are reverting back to saying, I don't want to get the ball quickly, as in I don't want to be able to receive the ball quickly, because then it's on me to make a decision. And for whatever reason, and it can't be the manager, and I'll explain why in a minute, but it can't be the manager, these players feel that making a mistake is like the end of the world. So what I'll do is I won't take a risk. I'll play it safe. I'll play it sideways. I'll play it out to a guy here. And there's been such a regression of a Rangers team that got us back into a title fight, because they were brave and they took risks and they played good football, right? There's no denying that. I think that we now look like a stage where we're very comfortable receiving the ball. I'll play it sideways. The amount of times last night where Tom Lawrence and John Lundstrom did not know where they were supposed to be playing or what they were supposed to be doing was ridiculous. And I think part of it falls on the manager. So I can agree with that, because he might be able to try and come up with a different structure, because that's gone out the window as well. And also in their own thoughts about what they want to be able to try and do, but they just don't want to lose the ball. They don't want to be the guy that causes a problem. And what's worse about it, Alan, is it's not necessarily causing a problem that would lead to a goal.
No.
It's just causing I don't want to not give the ball away to this guy. And then in two or three moves later, they've scored from it. they just don't want to lose the ball. It's like contain possession just for the sake of it. But you can't do that when you're trying to impress upon teams your urgency and also going for a league title. It simply does not work. It's the same thing as being able to say to teams, go and win 36 games a season. Doesn't happen, right? It just doesn't happen. What you need to be, or maintain the same high performance levels for that amount of football, you can't do it, right? It's not possible. It's why it's a squad game. You need to think about that, rotation, etc., etc. And we've now gone from, we empathise with the team and how much work that they've put in, but we now are at the stage of you are not getting it because you're making decisions in your head. It's not because of your legs or your body letting you down. It's your head.
It's like, here we go again. And as you say, the default to that one. And again, there's a lack of quality. I mean, obviously, I talked about in terms of the fight and so on, but there's a lack of quality. And we know the kind of standard, you know, across. But as you say, they revert to type. People talk about, is it the leadership team or whatever it would be? There's a few candidates in there that revert to that kind of type. And again, because we don't have the strong-minded, and now we're never, ever going to have, obviously, your Gascoins and those. But there was always players with the belief going, give me it, I'll do something, come on, you know, driving on. You just look about and it's bereft of, there's nothing at all there, Cammy. And that's where you're actually expecting to hang with it. I'm going to give it a go. And again, as you say, you can be brave and, okay, you can lose it, but you must have that. And what's happened now as well is teams have, they now know how to play Rangers. You've seen it between Sunday or between last night, but they now know, what do? Get in their faces in that midfield there. They've not got the engine, really. Get in the defence. Oh, my goodness, they look all so nervous. You know, and as you say, I don't know, it just feels like a here we go again. And again, I don't. The manager will take some kind of blame for wee bits and bobs, but to be honest with you, it's pretty much all in the players, I feel. He just looks exasperated, kind of standing at the side. And if I was one of the leadership guys like with you, Cammy, they really need to take the responsibility. It ain't happening. And then anyone else that comes into that culture, they're taking their kind of lead from them. And obviously what's going to happen then? You know, it's just going to affect the whole core. So,
well, that is exactly what I wanted to come back to. Because there's some big problems here. And again, anyone listening to this, a green and white persuasion, what I'm about to do is I'm about to do something that's called a little bit of self-reflection and self-evaluation, right? I'm not about to apportion the blame onto other people outside of my football club. That's probably an alien concept to you, but, you know, listen up. That senior leadership team, I'm going to pinpoint it really down to Tavernier, Goldson, John Lundstrom, is a problem. There's a couple of things with this, right? And people who are massive fanboys of these guys always tell me, but, you know, you've got to remember what they did. And I'm like, yeah, but that's what they did. That's what they've done for us. Yeah. What are they doing? And there's a difference between that. And listen, again, I spoke before at the top of the show about entitlement and everything else as well. But there is, it's absolutely rampant throughout the Rangers fan base. Our attitude is very much a, yeah, but what have you done for me lately? Mm-hmm. And whilst I can understand why that's tough, if it's tough, go and play for someone else. Because that's, for me, an ethos of the Rangers standards. You need to be able to ensure that you can handle that pressure.
And, Cammy, that's been generations. That's just the way it
100%,
is. 100%. People go there and we've seen players with other teams or sign them or they look cracking and then it's like they just can't cope with it. Well, I'm very sorry, tough. And I remember even Alec Ferguson talking about that type of thing or the kind of mentality. You've got to have the belief. He said sometimes the worst thing is actually passing a ball because the crowd want it. You need to have that. No, this is the time. Yeah. And we've seen so many Rangers players, but it's just suddenly when they are squeezed and there's this pressure, it shows. And I think if they'd done it once, Cammy, or a couple of times, but it's just the fact that they do. They just keep repeating it. And again, I'm sorry, but you're playing for Rangers and the way we went through and we won so much was because we did have that belief. We had the fight. We had the application. We don't peter out and we certainly don't whimper. you know, there's a handful of games left in a title and you just whimper out of a game. We shouldn't do it. But God, at least at times when I even saw, even some of the Greg teams and things would win cups and so on. But if you're going to go down fighting, do you know? And I think this is what annoys me too, you know. And they seem to be scot-free. We all moan about it. And then another transfer window comes in and, oh, here we go again. It's the same one. So
yeah,
that's a bigger problem about the financial fair play thing and, you know, what we can do. But yeah.
Yeah, but the problem with this now is that the three guys that I've just mentioned, they can't deal with the title running.
No.
They can't. March, April, May, whether it is, I don't know, tiredness and inability to be able to try and get the, like, it's so tough for them to be able to try and get a league title over the line. I just don't think it's in them any longer. And that's fact-based evidence. That's not me just deciding to rail on any of these guys because I'm emotional from last night or I'm pissed off about something else or, you know, whatever, right? And the problem is, well, there's two problems, really. The two problems for me fall down into, you mentioned it already, Alan, that's a leadership group that fundamentally is your influencers, right?
Mm-hmm,
that's your
role
models. That's the guys you need to be able to try and go out, right? And I'm not saying they're not trying, but the problem we have is these guys, when it's easy and the pressure's off, come to life. And yet when we get into this scenario of a title running, 9 cup finals, 8 cup finals, 7 cup finals as we kind of go, we've collapsed. And that's not the first time this has happened, because whilst I appreciate these guys can have brilliant moments in games, Tavernier has taken many a free kick and penalty, which have been incredibly decisive. Goldson has stepped up when it matters. Thursday night, John Lindstrom, right? That's fine. I get all of these things. But this is where the second point comes in. What they're doing now, right, because they're shit out of form, Connor Goldson especially cannot get out the rut. He cannot.
He just looks
it.
So nervous. I know injury wise, it looks as if he's carrying, but he looks so nervous. A ball just comes to him and he's like, oh shit, oh, there's one of the opposition. It's as if he's never, do you know, he's gone back so badly now, Cammy. Yeah.
And Tav, a little bit different because obviously within his position, because I think that beforehand, a younger James Tavernier gets the ball, he runs it, he takes us from there, takes the flank and stuff as well. I'm not going to criticise Tav's defending. That's not what this is about. But he's struggling to be able to get that now. He's struggling to be able to have a decent level of communication with the guy in front of him, which I do appreciate has rotated, but still. Connor Goldson and John Lindstrom are very comfortable being able to get the ball and do one of two things. Play it to the guy to the left and right of them, or punt it forwards in the hope that Dessers, Sima, Silva, Kamal Roof are able to get in the tail end of it. And Goldson in particular, and it used to be a huge weapon in his arsenal, has absolutely, his form has fallen off of a cliff at the moment. John Lindstrom, I think, struggles. I think he does need Dijon Sterling in next to him, or potentially to help him get through games, because I don't think that he's getting the best use of his body and all that. And again, as I say, I understand that. But I do want to be able to compliment John Lindstrom, to say when he came in, the manager liked him as well. He's helped being able to get us into this position. But the problem, I'm still coming back to this, Alan. You can talk about these three guys. You can talk about what they've done for Rangers. You can talk about the fantastic experiences, the trophy wins, the Thursday nights, the Europa League finals because of these guys. The problem is, I don't think these guys can do it where the metal meets the meat. And what I mean by that is, when we get to the proper title running, these guys will end up getting any manager in the world the sack, because they flatter to deceive up to that point, and then when we get into that final quarter of the season, it becomes a real problem. And I'm just at the stage now where we need to very seriously consider that in terms of when we go into next season. Because I don't think we're winning the league now, right? I'm just going to say it publicly. I just don't think we can. I think we'll win at Parkhead now because I think, you know, it's like as if the pressure's off, but I just don't. It's not so much I don't see Celtic dropping points. I just don't see us being able to capitalise that opportunity. And we were able to do it. Now we're back to not being able to. I genuinely think that.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I think we've got a really outside chance. I mean, we've seen it before with Helicopter Sundays and things, but as you say, Cammy, it's not even as if we're playing well. You know, for us even to, we'll get onto the Scottish Cup and things as well, but for us actually to go on and start winning games again, but no, I would agree with you. It's just a shame as well, but ultimately with most footballers, at some point the legs begin to go and so on the body. So, but the thing is with Rangers, they need to be able to then, you know, move and change things. And I think the big problem as well, some of the decisions that have been made in the past couple of years as well, they're hampering us a wee bit, you know, in terms of being able to. But we're left with a number of players that, yeah, fine, at times you've done well for us and so on. But if we are to be successful at all, we need to make these changes pretty quickly and to hope that Niels Koppen has got some younger, you know, sort of talent and so on lined up so we can improve. Because my big danger as well is you bring in a couple of other ones as well, and the culture is how we do things around here. If you bring them into Rangers, if they're then suddenly following the example of others, it's just going to ruin other potential, Cammy, you know, that we could have to build from.
Yeah, and that's where, I mean, we've spoken about it for a long time, actually, Alan, in the pod, where what we need is people to be brave. Mm-hmm. And for anyone who's not heard that, what I mean by that is not be brave as in I want you to get up and get in people's faces and squared goes and all the rest of it. What I mean by that is take risks, play more difficult balls, play more difficult passes that is not going to come off 100% of the time. And do you know what? As a support, we totally get that. But what we cannot stand is this idea of I just want to play it safe, because what you're effectively doing with every pass of the ball is you're abdicating the responsibility onto the next guy, and he passes on to the next guy, and the next guy, and the next guy. And apart from the fact that it does have that lack of urgency we've already spoken about, what it shows is that you just don't want to be the guy who makes the mistake. I get that. I think that's not, you know, specific to football. I think everyone in their own, you know, working life, no one wants to be the guy that makes the bollocks, right?
But what you're doing is you're closing down an opportunity. Every time you do that, you're closing an opportunity to feed a ball through a packed defence or whatever, because you're going, it's okay, I'll just do the wee back step again and play it across. But the time's ticking, Cammy, and especially when you're on title runs and things, you need to, as you say, you need to be giving it, try and create things. And I think the majority of us as well will respect that and go, no hard lines. You get applause sometimes, don't you? You know, when the play comes off and it just doesn't work off.
We absolutely did, Alan. I saw it with Diomande when he came in. I saw it with Cortez when he came in. Mm-hmm. I saw it when these guys came in and they were like, right, okay, brilliant. But the challenge for us then becomes that for the aforementioned malaise that starts to set in, or the fear or the anxiety, I don't know however you want to term it, of, right, we need to be able to try and take it down a notch just now because mistakes are mega critical and they're all important. It doesn't work like that, right? But what I would say is, it then starts to get into some of these other players. If I'm Kamal Roof or I'm Cyril Dessers or whatever, and I'm expecting to do the donkey work in terms of being able to try and pull guys out of position, but the only time I'm really going to get the ball is when my centre half wants to be able to try and play a 60 yarder
down a channel.
I know I'm not getting that ball frequently, and I know I'm going to have to struggle and produce miracles to be able to do anything with it. Mm-hmm. And I think that, and especially last night when you saw that, we started to get into that, and I think Dundee were probably pretty surprised, because I would have expected, I certainly hoped, but I would have expected a response following Dingwall. So after all the palaver about actually getting the game played, I would have expected Rangers to be able to try and come out and press against me, to be able to try and raise it up a notch and be able to do that, and at the very least demonstrate that they're in a title race. And I would have been openly surprised and stunned at how little of that I saw last night against my opponent. And yeah, that's where, and again, this is what it has to come into, because right now I'm more or less accepted to our league position, right? I don't like saying it, but I am where I am. But the reason as to why that's so important for us right now is because of Sunday's Scottish Cup semi-final against Hearts at Hampden.
Aye, and the Sunday one as well. I've even heard some people commenting, "Oh, well, forget about the Scottish Cup. Who wants to bother with that? Fucking hold on a wee minute here. We need to get on there on Sunday. We need to turn things around. We need to get that victory and ultimately go for the double anyway, Cammy. You know, and I think that's my bit about the entitlement come fans. Wait a wee minute here now. You've got some people saying, "Ah, well, just forget about that. Let's just throw everything away. To hell with that, you know." So we need to, as you say, get back on Sunday. And if we can do well on Sunday and get through, that may give us that wee lift as well that just keeps things, you know, kind of going from there.
Yeah, I mean, the manager, in fact, actually, sorry, let me just come back onto that, because that is something I forgot to say as well. Mm-hmm. I listened to the manager's comments last night as we were coming out of Dundee. And I think, you know, certainly from the people travelling with me, there was some confusion and some disappointment about his rhetoric that, you know, he felt that the game, we should have won it, blah, blah. And again,
He's trying to protect before Sunday.
100%, right?
Because see, if you stood up there and go, "That's unacceptable. Half of these guys will not be playing again," blah, blah, blah. That's not going to help. And I think the players will probably know as well. He shouldn't have gone into all that, Cam. He should just have said, "Clearly we're disappointed after Sunday last night. We'll look and learn, but we've got to move on." But as you say, I think, oh, come on, he's not stupid. Do you know what I mean?
He's not. And I think that's where, you know, it's always difficult. As you know, Alan, obviously, we are very fortunate in the fact that we have access to press conferences, you know, in the middle of the games and stuff as well. And I know that David made mention of this in one of the daily updates on our Patreon site this week of, you know, the manager's not going to come out, as you rightly say, and go, "Yeah, he's shite, I'm going to get rid of him." Or, mm-hmm, you know, "Can't be bothered with him, he's pish, I've told him he's pish, you know, what's going to happen?" It's the same thing as well about, you know, you can only, anyone who's ever managed people will know this, you can have strong conversations in sport, it might sound a wee bit like, you know, the Fergie hair dry treatment and all that. You can only do that every so often. You can't do it constantly because people
it loses
will.
Its effect in the end. It's like, you told me that four times before.
Yeah, exactly, right? And so sometimes it's that thing of, it's an arm around the shoulder or a kick up the arse, right? Good man managers know how to do it, right? In any kind of walk of life. I understand where he's coming from when he wants to be able to protect the players. So I never really go into press conferences or hearing post-match comments thinking, "I've got to live and die by this sentiment," because I just don't think it's... You're never going to get the real sense of it. Do I think he does it behind the scenes? Yeah, I do. Do I think successful managers do that behind the scenes? Absolutely, because they have to have that aforementioned man management and the relationship build. However, what he needs to be able to look at now for me, Alan, is this, I am hoping, is part of his decision-making process when we get to the summer. Because, I've seen it written in a few places as well, but the challenge with this needs now to be able to try and see a core nucleus being removed surgically, in order to be able to allow any manager a fighting chance at being able to try and keep this team motivated for an entire season. because ultimately he'll be bulleted before they will. And there is a running theme in some of these players that happens. Now, the manager now, for me, the most he can take out of this, right, is whether we win one trophy, two or three makes, you know, some impact to this. But what he needs to be able to do is look at this from a common sense perspective. I'm hoping that he does what we failed to do after 55 and remove sentimentality from the thought decisions.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the most important thing we can do now is we got back in within a title race. We've bollocks that I understand the phenomenal recovery from September. I understand all of that. But to a certain extent, you're making a rod for your own back because you're saying that you can do it, but you can only do it in certain periods. And again, that's not good enough.
No, and if you think of his brand, I mean, his brand when he came to us was positive, you know, in terms of, you know, he's kind of won trophies elsewhere. He's got a really good reputation. Certainly the first 4 or 5 months in particular, everyone, you know, were talking about it. So if I'm him as well, he's already clocked where he needs to change things and so on. And all that he'll be doing is he'll be thinking, if I do want to stay at Rangers for another couple of years and really, and hopefully will, and do well, and ultimately maybe move to the Premiership or whatever, I can't allow certain things to impact on my chances of success anyway. So I'm hopeful anyway, Cammy, that he's already clocked it. As I say, Neil Coppin's probably doing some stuff in the background anyway. And just to kind of put another thing to bed too, I picked up on people talking about, oh, listen to that. That's Philip Clement. He's completely lost it. My goodness, look at that post-match interview. Come on, really? As you say, I think it just comes down to the, look, I've got this big thing on Sunday here. I've got to get the best out of these guys. But I think to say he's flipped from being, my God, this guy's so measured, everything he's done is so well, to, you know, flipping over, I think it's just ludicrous, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I get people's reaction to it. I mean, I was the same, right? But again, I try not to subscribe to live and die by everything it said in post-match. No. I mean, and listen, do you know what? I'm going to give you a better example of that as well. So again, on our Patreon site, we have a post-match pod that goes up for anyone who's not aware of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we literally record it 10 or 15 minutes after the game. We do it at Ibrox, literally in the shadow of the stadium. And feel free to jump into our archive. You will hear plenty of post-match pods that you'll hear a lot of people really pissed off about what's happened because it's reactive, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you're in it. And listen, we do this because it means so much to us, right? I fell asleep, and you're exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Fall asleep last night, think about Rangers. It's the first thing you think about when you wake up this morning. That's how it absolutely inhibits our lives because of this football club. And the reason as to why I can't react too much to a reaction is because it's a reaction, right? Because I understand it myself. I've wanted to scorch the earth and get rid of these guys and all charlatans and blah, blah. And then when you can draw a breath, you then start to go back to, well, actually, it's not feasible to get rid of an entire playing squad. It's not feasible to make these kind of changes that we're talking about. It's not because the manager's turned and all of a sudden he just wants to play to the gallery. What he has to do is box clever and be aware of that.
And we do have constraints as well in terms of budget and so on and players going. So all of that will be factored in, you know, as well, Cammy. So as you say, there'll be certain people. Okay, if you had you've got all the money in the world and you can transfer people in and out now, then it would be totally different. But as you say, there is a kind of bigger picture. And again, just for the record as well, I do think he has made occasional mistakes and things with, you know, team selections and so on. But that's natural, and he'll reflect on all that too. Who didn't, you know, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, could you say, well, I'd want Ben Davis at left back and to put
Sterling
in the
middle.
Yeah,
man.
I get that. And I do understand the sentiment of it. The problem I have is I don't really know where the evidence is based on all of that kind of stuff at the moment. And
we don't see things at training too, Cammy. I mean, it's okay us going, look at the team he's picked, but we don't know, as you say, for the 7 or 8 hours or whatever he's with them each day and all of the other stuff behind the scenes, you know. Yeah,
100%. But then at the same point, that's why Scott Wright gets a game, because he's a good trainer.
but
you don't like it when Scott Wright plays, because I never really hear any kind of positive reaction regarding that. So I think it still comes back to look, we just need to be able to utilise our existing resources effectively. I'm not saying for a single minute that the manager doesn't have an incredibly difficult job in his hand. He has literally been working with one arm tied behind his back because of the injury situation and various other things and stuff as well.
And he's done so well to get us, to be honest with you, up to the past few weeks.
Of course it is. And it's not his fault that, you know, Sam Lammers goes away to the Eredivisie and is, you know, banging them in for fun. That's football, right? That's just what happens. Anyway, let's have a little chat then, Alan, just for the next couple of minutes regarding this Sunday's semi-final. Being where I am through in West Lothian, interact with loads of Hearts fans, to a man, relatively great guys. They know the way the world have always felt about Hearts fans, that they are quite, you know, understanding in terms of how things work and stuff as well. And it's tough for me at the moment when I speak to them to be able to say to any of them who are feeling nervous or, you know, struggling with thinking about being able to try and get a result on Sunday as to why it's not an outside possibility. Since last night, I'm even less convinced. But what do you need to see from this team on Sunday, Alan? I'm not going to give you the get out of, you know, making it to the final, but from a result perspective, from a performance perspective, from a mentality perspective, what is it that you need to see? Are you wanting to see a massive turnaround and you need to be sold, or are you just like 1-0, chips and hame, don't care?
To be honest with you, at the end of the day, I'll take the 1-0 and chips at home. But what we do is, I think there needs to be more. There needs to be, look, you need to all win your individual, you know, kind of challenges again. You have let a lot of people down, obviously, yourselves, the fans and so on. But we really need to see like a proper Rangers team in here. We need to be brave. We need to go and create chances and so on. And just actually improve the performance, you know, as well. I think the pitch as well at Hampden too, I'm hoping with a bit of pace and so on as well, you know, maybe we can exploit them. But nah, to be honest with you, just go in there, do what we did with the Aberdeen one, the whatever, you know, the kind of final we played. I'm hoping to hang that Sterling does go in. I don't know how well in terms of kind of left back. But no, to be honest with you, Cammy, I'm at the stage now, we've just got to go out, fight, you know, actually try and be brave, try and attack them and so on. But ultimately, just get us through to the next round, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, and listen, I get that, and I'm trying not to be flippant about it. It's just that it's because, for me, Alan, there's so much that
I know you want a 6-0, mate. I know what you're like.
Do you know what it's not? It's not so much that I need to see a 6-0, right? I do get that, and it'd be great to have a fun day out at Hampden, right? Which, you know, is a bit of a contradiction in terms, but it is what it is. What I need to be able to try and see is, if we're serious, right, I don't want to meekly surrender the title because of our title ambitions, because our mentality and physicality and urgency fell off a cliff in the home straight. If we've got anything that we can do that can allow us to be able to win the league, Sunday has to be seen as an opportunity to be able to say, do you know what? We need to arrest the slide. We need to be able to get back on the horse. We have to take some personal accountability. Mm-hmm. And we need to be able to be brave and take risks. Because do you know what? These fans will understand it when you try and do that. Mm-hmm. We've conceded shit goals in the last couple of months because our defence has been incredibly leaky. But whilst I can appreciate that goals, you know, conceded can always be prevented, there's also elements of this as well where we have played strong attacking football because we've made risky decisions.
Yes,
and I want us to be able to try and get back to that, because, and I think this is why, as fans, we find it so difficult to understand, because you're showing me that you can do it. So our default position then is, so are you choosing not to do it? Because you've shown me the talent. Where is the willingness? And that's almost what I want from this team on Sunday. I want a willingness that shows me that, do you know what? Even if we do finish second, and by no means am I saying that's acceptable, please don't think that, but even if we do have to finish second in a title race, at least we've went and given it our all. At least we've left it on the park. And the Scottish Cup for me, and listen, you're totally right, by the way, no Rangers fan of recent history has got any right to turn around and go,
we don't want two trophies because we didn't win the league.
We're not running out of Brasso anytime soon, let's put it like that. But the thing for me now is, use it as an opportunity, use it to be able to say, this is our chance to be able to try and rectify what's went wrong. Put in a great performance that the fans deserve to see, right? Again, I used that word entitlement before, but I do think that's where we are now with it, because again, these poor bastards have spent so much money, have just renewed season tickets, have just renewed my jerseys, have just, you know, had to get pissed about with the game up in Dundee, and they've seen a team that can deliver begin to be unable to all of a sudden. And so Sunday gives a chance to put that back to the fans. I think what it should do, and again, I'm trying to be as open as I can here, Alan, what I also think it can do is inject some enthusiasm and some belief into these players, into these personnel, some of whom will not be here next season, right? And I don't believe for a single minute that there's not a Rangers fan listening to this that fundamentally believes that some of the players that are going to go don't deserve to win a Scottish Cup medal. I think all of us want to see that for these players. We've concluded our business. Off you pop. Thanks for everything. You know, arrivederci. This is, for me, what I want the players to be able to try and understand.
It's
not quite the last dance yet, but we're getting close to it. And just encourage yourselves to be able to get there. And I'll say something else as well. I'm already of the mindset, Alan, that if we get through on Sunday, it will be Celtic that we're playing. So you need to make sure that we generate a mentality that doesn't look like we're going to shit the bed, because I don't think we'll win at Parkhead, but Hampden's a different beast altogether.
Yeah, I think so. As I say, we go out there on Sunday. To be honest with you, I think they do, and it's not an entitlement. They owe it to the fans, any football club. Do you know what I mean? Ultimately, they've let the fans down, you know, by their performances, and they owe it. If you think back to even after the Seville one, you know, the kind of Hearts final, how good was that? How good was obviously the Aberdeen one? So just for any footballer as well, there's a trophy at the end of it. For me, you go, it's going to be a real toughie, obviously, against Hearts. But I do think if we turn up at all, you know, with the right attitude, we can get through. And again, I know, I think in terms of the title, I'm probably the only guy that's left. There's just a remote chance that if that maybe kick-started as a wee bit again after Sunday, we're getting a couple of wins, we'll just see what happens, mate, you know.
Listen, that's it in a nutshell. We've no reason to be afraid of Hearts. And I don't mean from a Hearts perspective, I mean from a self-belief perspective. We've got no reason to think that we can't get through comfortably on Sunday. I can totally appreciate that our run of form currently is dog meat, so therefore we need to be able to recover ourselves back out of that. But teams aren't here just allowed to give us a chance to be able to get into a title race, and I think you've seen that with Motherwell and Ross County and Dundee, all within that kind of run of games that we've discussed. They're not here just to see us be able to try and get to 56. Hearts are not here to see us get through to, you know, the Scottish Cup final. But what we can do is say, well, we're here to do it. We need to be able to try and believe in it. And I don't care who it is in that group of players now. I know beforehand we've trusted the senior leadership team. I omit Jack Butland from some of this because whilst I appreciate he is one of the senior players, there's only so much I think a goalkeeper can control in terms of what's in front of him. But what someone has to be able to try and do here is make an assessment of where the group is at currently and take the responsibility, even if it's just him, take the responsibility to say to everyone, we need to be able to do better here, and get them to look at each other, get them to be able to buy into that ethos of, if we work together as a unit and we're cohesive, we can get out of this. And we've got an opportunity to do that at 3 o'clock on Sunday at Hampden.
If you can't walk out at Hampden on Sunday and look at the big Rangers end and the big Rangers support out there, and do you know what I mean? Get yourself set and flipping throw everything at it, Cammy. You never mind getting boot, but you should chuck it yourself. And do you know what I mean? There's going to be a massive Rangers support out there. And again, despite all of this, as you say, the criticism and so on, which rightly they've been getting. And come Sunday again, we're going to be right 100% right behind the team again. And they've just got to go there and apply everything that they can. and just go from there.
100%. I couldn't agree with that more. And even talking to you and being able to kind of openly have this counselling session that we've had in terms of where we were at last night, and obviously looking forward to it. I'm already starting to feel a bit of an upsurge, and I'm very convinced that that will continue over the next couple of days as well.
I mentioned your charm and your personality. So look at that. I finished there talking about confidently going on and winning the Scottish Cup, Cammy. So it worked, didn't it? Yeah.
Listen, my friend, it's only because of the guests I have in this show. Anyway, let's stop doing the virtual hugging at the moment. Let's give these people some time back. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Thank you to our producers in London, Mike Lee, Paul Myers. Thank you to our extra show sponsors, Zenith Coins, zenithcoins.com. Please head on over and check them out. And most importantly, as well for me, thank you very much to my excellent guest this week, Mr. Alan Bradley. Alan, genuinely, I'm feeling more uplifted now because we've been able to try and get some of this off our chest. I think we've had a really open and honest conversation. And again, we've not tried to point the finger to anyone outside of the club. We are responsible for what's happening. We will fix it.
Absolutely, Cammy. And thanks again. Always enjoy Extra. As you say, subject matter painful. But again, no, it was I really enjoyed just going through the various bits and bobs. Yeah.
If you've been able to stick out this long, folks, and thank you for that, because again, like I say, not an easy show for us to be able to try and get through. Please head on over to our Patreon site, patreon.com/heartandhand, where you'll get loads and loads of great Rangers content, but also some fantastic stuff across the wider world of football as well. Please make sure that you jump on and check that out if you haven't already. David will be back with you on Flagship on Monday to unpack Sunday afternoon's Scottish Cup semi-final. Hopefully, with Rangers having able to secure a position in the final, irrespective of our opponents. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening, and we'll speak to you again next week. Bye-bye.
Podcast Network.